Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Chaplain Robert Zuluaga. This is the Republic Prayer Call for January the 6th, 2025. So let's start it off with a celebration. Trump got certified, and Sally is going to start us off with a blowing of the shofar. Hallelujah. God reigns. Well, we're getting started off with a bang this year. Devil's trying to kick and scream, and I'm going to ask folks to mute themselves because I'm hearing background. So let me see here. I'll let you unmute yourself a little later. So the devil's tried to come in and stir things up, but you know, I just see the hand of God moving in miraculously and intervening. I asked God this this week. I said, Lord, what do you want to say to your people? And before I got the prayer out of my heart, he said, Jeremiah 10:10. I said, Jeremiah 10:10. That's not a common verse that we readily know. So I'm going to turn there and start the call off with that. Jeremiah 10:10 says this, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to endure his indignation." I went, wow, Lord, that is just awesome. And I see that, you know, I don't know how many of you have been following the different prophetic releases that have come out as we've started the new year, but they've been coming thick and fast from all sorts of prophets. There's a prophet, Brandon, a chubby-faced fellow. He's been coming on the radar a little bit recently, and he's predicted a few things. He predicted what happened in New Orleans and Las Vegas. He's predicted some other things that happened, and he said God gave him a dream, and his dream was a big pickup truck, and there was, and you know, he's it's not his wheelhouse to know what he's talking about. So he said, I saw in my dream, I saw these people in the summertime gathering all of this fertilizer, just quietly, a little here, a little there. They're gathering this fertilizer around the place. And so then he sees this big dump truck, and he sees it's got welded plates on the front of it for, you know, for ramming, whatever. And he sees this, these 55-gallon barrels in the bed of this a dump truck, and he sees it heading towards the Capitol. So that was a prophetic alert to call the body of Christ to intercede and pray for the breaking up of the attempts for chaos and disorder and the many sleeper cells that are now in America, thanks to the efforts of the Biden administration over the last 4 years. And then you have the likes of Hank Kuhneman. Perhaps you saw his prophetic release on New Year's, and he's just on fire, sharing what the prophetic hand of God is doing. And again, he's saying, you know, these folks are going to try to have their way to cause chaos, etc. And he says, and God says, I will not allow it. I will intervene. It just was such a force and such a clarity. Other prophets are saying that this is a time for us to pray. It's a time for us to intercede. It's a time for us to be vigilant, because wonderful things are happening in the heavenlies. Things are being exposed very, very quickly right now. We can expect a lot of quick sudden changes. And I personally see that it's for the good. As we were saying before the call, grab your highly buttered, salted popcorn. Be flexible. Put your running shoes on, and expect that God will breathe into visions and hopes and things He's put in your heart for the future. And it'll be a little bumpy, but I really expect it to be a very exciting year for us all this year. I'm going to start reading Psalm 91. Safety of abiding in the presence of God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your buckler, shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you and keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I had the pleasure of knowing a guy for many years in my life, and we got kind of disconnected over the last couple of years. I knew he was going through some challenges, but he always had a very upbeat message. He would send a message every single day. He'd text it. He never wanted to talk. We were friends back in Phoenix, probably 25 years ago or something. And he never wanted to talk because he'd had some illness. And but he would always text. Well, he passed away over the Christmas period, and I just want to share with you just one or two or three of his little texts that he would send. Old ways won't open new doors. Author unknown. The father said to his son, "Be careful where you walk." The son responded, "You be careful. I walk in your footsteps." Another one he says is, "You were never created to live depressed, defeated, guilty, condemned, ashamed, or unworthy. You were created to be victorious." Authors unknown. And then finally, let's see. "He has walked the path you're traveling. He knows what you're going through." And one I shared with a couple of you may have received as a text from me is, Our days are happier when we give people a bit of our heart rather than a piece of our mind. So all those are from unknown authors. That's a tribute to my friend John Horsecamp. He's out of Virginia. So God rest his soul. And one of the things that we see as we step into the new year is there's a closing of doors. So there's doors of situations and relationships and things that it's time for us to leave behind. And, the holiday season is extremely joyous for some of us, and it's extremely sad for others of us. You know, it depends what's happened in your family relationships, your personal relationships, those who are close to you. It's a time where it's great if you've got family and fellowship and friends around, and it's incredibly challenging if you don't have somebody to share that with. So we're in a season now where it's time to close the doors to the past. Not be looking back and going, coulda, woulda, shoulda, shoulda been, coulda been, or whatever. It's really time for us to look forward, look with expectancy and hope to the future of what God is showing us, what we're called to. Dare to dream our dreams of something that's been, cooking away in our heart for a while. I see the doors of heaven are open, and I'm saying, don't try to do it yourself. Wait for God to lead you. Wait for God to move in front of you. But we are clearly at a turning point in our history, in our nation's history. We've had a yoke over us for 4 years of this liberalism and this wokeism and this absolute death and hell. And I just feel that God has given us a great, a gracious, merciful opportunity, a window and a door open for us to seize his kingdom, to draw in millions, if not billions, of souls into the kingdom. We're in that third great awakening, and it is a wonderful time to be alive. I want to, we've turned, as you know, maybe you don't, in the Republic, we follow the Hebraic calendar. And just as we turn the new year, we also turned the month of the Hebraic calendar. So we're now in the month of Tevet. Get that right. Let's see. And Bruce Dietler is a co-editor, I guess, with Pastor Wade Butler. And I've asked him if he would come on and share with us. Well, where are you, Bruce? Ooh, I guess I don't see you. I don't see you, Bruce, so we'll have to hold on that one. I spoke early. There's a lot in the calendar. If you haven't received it, it's 123 pages this month. And I guess I will just read kind of an opening part of it for you. There's a lot to read. It's got a 29-page entrance to it, but I'll read you some of Wade Butler's thoughts on it. He says, every year as we examine the times and seasons that are coming upon us, Tevet 5785 is certainly a time and season we need to look at in great depth. We are leaving Kislev while Hanukkah is just gearing up. This year, Christmas and Hanukkah were celebrated on the same day, December 25th. According to the Jerusalem Post, this has happened only 5 times since 1900. The reason why the two dates do not coincide is because the Hebrew calendar differs greatly from the Gregorian calendar, which is used throughout the world since the time of Constantine and the Catholic Church imposed it on all nations. Unlike the 365-day solar calendar, which is based on the Earth's rotation around the sun, the lunar calendar only has 354 days. The calendar has always been significant in history, with this year having the most tumultuous implications of our lives. So as I've said before, what can we expect? Tibet 5785 is going to be filled with intrigue, danger, and surprises beyond our wildest imagination. How in the world can we prepare for governments of nations changing leadership, exposure of the greatest scandals in modern history, the threat of World War III, everywhere around us, and the manifestation of angelic forces interacting with the sons and daughters of God on a daily basis? Wow, Tibet is going to be a power-packed month. Let's see what he says. Revelations 4:1. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard addressing me like the calling of a war trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the future."
Put in the access number.
Is that you, Bruce Deedler?
Yes, it is. Sorry.
I got started on the calendar without you.
Well, good for you. Apparently, I dialed in the wrong access number, and I'm sitting here listening to this annoying, monotonous music.
For 15 minutes.
Anyway, pardon me. Go ahead.
Well, I'm glad you had the relaxing time. I'm reading some of Wade's introduction. I'm going to mute you because you're making a bunch of noise there. And I'll pull you on in a minute here. So this says, going back to Wade's introductory comments, he says, "I was taken up in a whirlwind at great speed with a multitude of intercessors. A friend said, 'We are accelerating like I have never seen before. In an instant, we were on the streets of the New Jerusalem being pushed along by thousands heading toward the center of the city. It was an incredible vision. All around me were people singing and dancing with great joy. The angels were blowing trumpets and playing stringed instruments.'" Hello. What else is that? "Stringed instruments. As we moved towards City Plaza, I could see a great gathering before us where a celebration was in full swing, and the people were ecstatic. A man was pulling me along, and I asked, 'What's going on?' And he said, 'All of heaven is rejoicing because of what the Lord has done.' 'What is it?' I asked. His reply was, 'It has begun. Justice has been sent to the sons and daughters of God. The earth is crying out no more. Evil is being exposed, and the children will be set free.' I next asked, 'Who are all these people, and who are you?' He said, 'This is the great cloud of witnesses, and I am Benjamin.' Immediately my mind was enlightened, and I realized that I was taken into a moment of time not distant, and I knew that we were entering a great time of war over all the earth. The angels of justice were exacting the vengeance of the Lord." Hebrews 10:30 says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine. Retribution and the meeting out of full justice rests with me. I will repay. I will exact the compensation,' says the Lord." We are in a new place and a new season. God, the Lord, has balanced time that the enemy has distorted. So he goes in to talk about, when you read the word of the prophets, you will come to realize that our Lord is still speaking and trying to get us to listen. He is not a baby, nor weak, nor unable to hear us. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is coming back as a lion, powerful and victorious." So with that introduction, I hope Bruce has gathered himself from his relaxing musical background. And I'm going to open it up to Bruce to just give us a little window into the month of Tibet.
Well, thank you, Brother Robert. I apologize for interrupting you earlier. Apparently, I had dialed the wrong access code, and I'm sitting there listening to this relaxing music. Okay, anyway, Tibet in Jewish history. We were speaking about this earlier. The most important thing regarding the month of Tibet in our household is the fact that that is the date in which Esther was taken into King Ahasuerus' palace, leading to her becoming the queen in the book of Esther, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. So we are leading into the work of Esther. The Esther work is manifesting glory to God. The people of Israel, God's people, will rejoice through the victory over their enemies, and all the children of Haman will be hung on the gallows. Glory be to God. So that is the primary thing that we're seeing out of Tibet. The other thing, Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem on the 10th of Tibet back in 588 BCE, leading to the destruction of the first temple. And following then is the sojourn in Babylon for 70 years. So a lot of stuff goes during this time. Anyway, that is, that's pretty much the basics. A lot in the calendar here, 29 pages of introduction regarding Tibet and what all goes on during the month, from Chuck Pierce and Robert Heidler. And during the month of Tibet, 11 different facts about the month of Tibet. Tibet is in the winter. The 10th month in the Jewish calendar occurs during winter time. Entire winter season, sometimes called the season of Tibet. It's the only month that always has the same number of days, always has 29 days. And the other months rotate or move between 29 or 30, depending upon the moon cycle and so on. It's the only month where a Jewish festival bleeds from one month into the next. So it was part of last month, and it ended up the beginning of this month. The Jerusalem siege began, as I said. There was a fast that was established by the rabbis as a result of the destruction of Jerusalem, and that always occurred on the 10th. Of the month of Tibet as well. Tibet is Babylonian. It was the name was adopted during the Babylonian exile. It believed to connote sinking or immersing, and it is suggested because of all the heavy winter rainfalls making mud puddles in the Middle East and swampy conditions. And that's about it, brother. Much, much else in there, but too much to try and cogitate at the moment here.
Very good. So I'm going to refer those of you who are new to the call, and I see we have some new folks on the call this evening, so welcome. If you go to the Republic for the United States of America website, you can click on, there's like tabs across the top. There's one that says Divine Providence. So if you click on Divine Providence and scroll down, and you'll see my picture there. You'll see some, the time of the call and things, but you'll see a calendar, and it says Scriptures for the Healing of the Nations calendar. So if you click on that, it has each of the month, the calendars of the month, and you can download that and read it. It's there's a lot to read in it. It's for myself, I come out of the Judeo-Christian tradition. I come out of Catholicism. I come out of born-again, Bible-based teachings in the church, and have been to Charis Bible College. And through all of that, there isn't really very much integration with the Hebrew calendar. And yet, the older I get, the more I realize how the festivals that we are celebrating in our culture are really not the festivals that God has encouraged us to practice through from generation to generation. So it's a gradual learning process for myself. And I see it in many ways how this, I'll call it a Babylonian influence, but it's also the Catholic Church influence, changing of the seasons, the changing of the calendar, the time of Constantine, changing the calendar, the changing of the frequencies that we listen to. We have all the music that is in the in our Western culture is on a 400 hertz, and it needs to be at a 444 hertz to synchronize properly with our body system. John Rockwell, who has been on the call for many years in the past, would bring a teaching on frequencies pretty regularly. And when you recognize that we're being subject to twisted time, twisted sound, twisted truth all through our culture, and it's like God's removing those veils. And so getting an understanding of the Hebraic calendar, at least for me, is one more of those veils that God's removing. You know, it's not something that you become all radical and fanatical about, but I think the more we understand it, we can walk in a greater synchrony and a greater peace in what God's word's saying in terms of the times of the seasons and reading the times and the seasons accurately. I have asked Mark Tomaszewski to share what he's seeing God doing at this time, what he's showing him. So if you're available, Mark, you have the floor.
All right. Thank you very much, Robert. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you really well.
All right. Thank you. So as I was just meditating on this over the last couple of minutes, the Lord has really just shown me what he's been speaking to me over, oh goodness, the last couple of months. And I've been spending a lot of time in the book of John, and specifically chapter 14, 15, and 16. And I just wanted to share some thoughts that ties in with a lot of what people are talking about right now, because we're at the start of January, the start of a new year, and everybody's doing the typical traditional New Year's, how am I going to make my life better? And I wanted to share some of my thoughts on that because I think many people are deceived into thinking that just because it's January 1st, we can start a new year. And I'm just speaking about the word here. And so I'm just going to talk from the heart here and what Jesus is telling me. I'm going to talk about a little verse in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And everybody knows the story about when Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat, we're going to pass over to the other side, and they all got in the boat, and then a storm came, and Jesus is in the back of the boat asleep. The word asleep is used in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I just thought about that. How is it that Jesus can be asleep in a boat on a pillow and the disciples are freaking out, thinking they're about to die? Now, punch pause on that thought, and I want you to think about Isaiah 26:3. He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. Okay, I'm also going to mention a couple verses out of John that I've been meditating on these for weeks, if not months. In John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave you, This is Jesus talking to the disciples very shortly before he was crucified. My peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I'm thinking, okay, why did he say that to the disciples right then? This is right like the night before, stuff's going to happen. And then in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said to the disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so I meditate on this, especially now as we're watching things unfold that are potentially very scary. Many innocent people are going to be injured and killed because of the evil cabal and all of this terrible stuff that's happening. And it's very easy to think that everything is going terrible. But Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world." Well, how do we do this, Jesus? What are you talking about? And he brings me to the verse where he's asleep on a pillow in a boat and the disciples are freaking out. The very thing that the disciples thought were going to kill them, Jesus was being rocked to sleep. How could he do that? How could he say, "Be of good cheer," knowing that he's about to face the cross? And I'm going to tell you that the answer to this question is the same answer that I'm going to say for you. How do we all handle change, adversity, trials, its vision, its purpose? What has Jesus called you to? Where has he called you to? If you're going through it, don't stop. When you focus on what God has called you to, you can get through things, keeping your eyes on the prize. And for a couple of years, I've been a coach of sort, helping people find their purpose in their life. And so I went through lots of trials myself and currently are in some trials. And every time I start feeling in my flesh a little bit of tension, worry, fear, I have a choice. I can either let the water rock me to sleep or I could start bailing the boat. It's a choice. What am I going to focus on? So my practical thought and what is God showing me is that people rest in him. And Robert, you have been very good at reminding me at times, I'm a go-getter, I'm a driver and everything, and you're very good at saying, slow down, be at peace. And when we maintain that ability to be at peace in the midst of the storms, the speed bumps don't rock you so much. And if we're focusing too much on what's happened or is happening, we lose track of the vision. We lose track of what God is calling you to do. As leaders, you must keep your eyes on the future and what we need to be about, which is the Father's business, which is about, yes, this hurts, yes, this is painful, but I am called to do this. I'm called to be this to someone. What you said, Robert, about show someone a piece of your heart, don't give them a piece of your mind, is so valuable right now, because I'm telling you, everyone on this call, you are going to be around people that don't have the peace that you have. They don't have the knowledge that you have, the wisdom that you have. And you are going to come across people every single day that need some love and some peace and some perspective. And you have the ability to do that because you choose to say, in the midst of the storm, peace, be still. So that is my thought. That is my daily prayer. And when I run into a situation where I'm like, oh, Lord, how do I handle this? The words of Albert Einstein come ringing back into my brain. We cannot solve our problems with the same thinking that we use to create them. We must get God's perspective. And when you read through Psalms and you see how many times the psalmist cry out to God, Lord, why is this happening? But yet when they turn and in the midst of the storm, they can say, peace, be still. Soul, why are you disquieted within me? Trust you in God. And that's where we can find peace in the midst of the storm. He has already promised the victory in Christ. And we are overcomers, but we must stay the course so that we can be a blessing to the people that we see every single day. So that is all that I had to share, and I hope that helps somebody tonight.
Thank you, Mark. You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about, we're go-getters. We're very focused in our own worlds of what interests us. And I'm just pondering this time we're in, and there is a need for us to walk humbly. There's two things happening. One is great changes are happening in our country. And the other thing is there is a call to repentance. You know, this is a time of the third great awakening. So we are the conduits that are the physical intercessors, the physical conduit for God to speak into the lives of people. And what comes to my mind, and I hope you don't mind, I'd like to share it on this call, is we were out hiking over New Year's, Mark, myself, and some friends. We were looking for moose, or at least moose tracks and moose droppings to see if they were close.
Oh, yeah, great story.
Yeah, so we went off doing that. We went out doing some target practice and stuff, but we were on our way back. And we were on dirt roads, mountain roads, very, very icy. You really needed a four-wheel drive to be on it. But so we were having a good time, and this guy in a little sedan, a little car. We were coming up on him, probably fast for him, but we were in larger vehicles with four wheel. So he felt anxious about it. So he pulls over on the road on a bit of a hill. And so that was inviting us to pass him. And anyway, we passed this guy, and in passing him, the road was just like a sheet of ice. So imagine a hill on a sheet of ice, and Mark had to accelerate to go past this guy and put the car or the truck in a spin, and his back of his truck hits this guy's car. Well, he thinks we're going to drive off, and he's tooting his horn, and he's all upset, And so there was, a number of us there. And we just, and so his immediate response was, you've wrecked my day. This is the worst day for me. And then he realized he's angry, and he's trying to process it because he realizes there's really not a lot of blame to go. But it was so beautiful to see your response, Mark, to this guy. You gave him love. You gave him firmness. It's like, yeah, I'm really sorry, man. I wrecked your car. But you framed it with such an opportunity for him to let go of his anger, for him to see this accident in context. And, I think you said something like, hey, I'm really sorry I banged into your car, et cetera, but for me and where my world is, this is really no big deal. This Christmas, my best friend lost his daughter in a car accident. And here, this is just bent metal. She lost her life. So this is really not such a big deal for me. We've got insurance. We can take it, get it covered, get it all restored. And he started to shift. His whole countenance shifted. His whole framework of this you know, he came out to the woods from what we could tell us because he was having some struggles in his world. And he came out to get his head clear or whatever, and he ends up getting in a car accident. But do you want to add to that at all, Mark? Because I think that what I'm trying to say is we each at this time have an opportunity to be a conduit of the love of God to minister to people who aren't as far along in the journey of that relationship of John 14, 15, and 16.
Yeah, so I will add to that that even when we're the ones to blame, we make the mistake and we need to apologize. And I did. I said, I am so sorry. And I did. I was very sad that I schmucked his car. But we even in that moment have an opportunity to be the hands and feet in Jesus, because standing in front of me was a person that needed the love of God right then. Well, how do you do that when he's mad at me? Well, that's practice. And the Holy Spirit will help us to say the right thing. And yes, we wound up, I shared information, and then we started a texting message, and he wound up thanking me for helping him to get perspective on life. And then he texted me a few more times saying, I'm glad that I met you. It's kind of awkward that we met because you smashed my car, but thank you for being godly. And I am repenting, and I'm just asking God, thank you, Lord, for showing me love through a bunch of strangers who smashed my car. And so it was awkward, but you know, it doesn't matter. Even if I mess up, I'm still going to try and be the love that people need to see. And that was just an opportunity for all of us to be like, wow, God, you were so good. So it is an opportunity, even when things are ugly, if we have made a decision, I'm going to serve my Lord and my King Jesus, then you're going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. Even when you smash your car and it's going to cost you thousands of dollars, who cares? I yield.
Well, what came to my mind on that particular incident is Romans 8:28. You know, God can cause all things that occur to us to turn to good for those of us who love him and are follow according to his precepts. And particularly in this time, when we are going to see such upheaval, we will. I mean, just you think about it on a very practical level. Donald Trump is calling for the decrease in the government, and he's going to have Elon Musk help him do that. And that's going to create such financial instability for millions of government workers. And not only millions of government workers, but millions of Americans, subcontractors who rely on the government to give them contracts for their livelihood. So there's them and their people that work for them. You know, there's going to be a great shift in how people do business in the next 4 years. And that's going to have a ripple effect in every single one of our lives. And so the people we're going to come in contact with, and there's people who are living on the edge, you know, they've got too much house and too much mortgage and are counting on that very delicate balance of that monthly paycheck or weekly paycheck that comes in to make all those ends meet. And when they have to turn and not rely on their checkbook, but rely on God, that's going to cause a lot of hearts to turn. And you and I will have the opportunity to meet them in the way and be salt and light and invite them into a closer walk with Jesus. Because like Mark says, you're going to get through it. It's just a job. It's just a shift in the direction that your life's going, and you've got life, you've got family, you've got health. We'll all make it through it. Thank you, Mark. Let's see. Let's go on to Katie Dabrowski. Katie's a great prayer warrior. Katie was walking around the park today praying. So, Katie, I wanted you to share with us what God's saying to you, what you're seeing in terms of the prayer needs of this time that we're in as we step into the new year. So you have the floor.
Thank you, Robert. I just want to praise the Lord God and thank him for the ability to walk in the park and the sunshine. And That is just really neat. But the,
well,
the
Katie,
thing the Lord put on my heart,
Katie,
for today.
Katie, that's a great point.
Yes.
Why don't you start by your testimony and tell folks why that's such a praise for you?
Because in January 2000, I had a golf ball-sized tumor just behind my right ear in my head. And when they removed it, they stretched the facial nerve, and a whole bunch of bad things happened, and it took a couple surgeries to get it out. And then I was in a wheelchair, and the vertigo was so bad that my husband would drive and then get me in the wheelchair to go to church, and then I'd lay on the pastor's couch because I couldn't sit up in the wheelchair. And this is my first trip with no walker in August. I went from a wheelchair to the walker, and no walker and no pain. So praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So go ahead.
So as I was walking around and praying and just praying in the spirit and just praising God and thanking him for the beautiful sunshine, I just kept on thinking that today was January 6th. And so I was thinking about the prisoners and just praying, Lord, release them. Protect them and release them. Don't let anybody get to them. So in the name of Jesus, I command them to be released and restored, not just released, but restored, because a lot of them have lost many things. But not just them, but also all those that have been jailed unrighteously. In Tennessee, where I just came from, I was originally from Detroit, Michigan, and stayed. I was there for many years till my husband and I retired. But in Tennessee and Nashville, they were arresting people that were just praying outside the abortion clinics. And so I'm praying for all the unrighteous, not just the January 6th, that they would not just be released but restored, that his mighty angels would go in and just release them like they did Peter and protect them, that they would just wrap their arms around them, and that the Lord Jesus would visit them and give them peace in their cells, and that they would be mighty witnesses of the light of Christ in the cells, and that they would bring others to Jesus in these cells, and that it would thwart, turn around what the enemy meant for evil. God could turn it to good. And so, Father, I just ask you that you would just be with those people, that you would comfort them as only you can comfort them, and show them your truth, and let them be your bold and faithful witnesses, just like the apostles prayed when they were beat up and imprisoned, that they said, let us pray for more boldness to be a witness for the Lord Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. We just thank you, Father, for complete restoration financially of their identities, of their reputations, of their families, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Katie, could you also pray for those who lost their lives in New Orleans over New Year's?
Yeah, Father, we pray for the families, Father, that you would comfort them. You are the God of all comfort, and we pray that you would comfort the families. Let them know that you are a good God, that you love them and comfort them, and that the people that they lost are with you if they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and comfort them with that knowledge that heaven is just so wonderful. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, nor can we even imagine what God has waiting for those that love him and serve him in heaven. And it is so wonderful. God himself in Revelation 21:4 says he's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. There's going to be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and no more pain, because the former things are gone away. And God says that he makes all things new. So I pray that you would comfort them with these words, Father, that you would send warriors and prayer ministers to these families, Fathers, with the right words that the Holy Spirit inspires in Jesus' name and for your glory. And that if they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that you would send a witness to the family about who Jesus is. And for your glory.
Amen. And I wanted to
find... Robert, there was one thing. You mentioned humility. That was the first word on the prayer calendar yesterday when we were praying here in Woodland Park. 25, humility, power, strength. God's calling his people to be humble, humble themselves. And we're not doing it in our strength, but in his strength. And when you've been in a wheelchair and when you've been weakened that way, you know that when the Lord wants you to do something, he gives you the strength to do it, and he gives you the wisdom to do it. But you have to ask, seek, and knock, and that's in Matthew chapter 7.
Katie, that's so good. You know, we... I was listening to a prophet this past week, and he was talking about God searching the earth for a David, a man after his own heart. And we know that we're moving into a cycle where we have a very strong, a very self-assured president. And that's a very necessary step that we are at in our country. But I think what I heard this prophet say was, and that's not to put any aspersions on Donald Trump at all, but it's to say that God has found those with a humble heart, and he's ready to use them. And that's such an exciting time to recognize that we walk humbly. God notices it. We don't have to make a big old song and dance about it. And so thank you so much for that. I want to let the bells play here, so. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sally, you are another prayer warrior. I'm going to invite you to the floor and just share what you see from your heart and what you see going on as we step into the new year.
Well, I just bought a ticket to go to D.C. Several of my partners on the 24/7 strategic prayer call are going to D.C., I get confused on which week is which. The week coming up, I believe, is Montana's week, and then the following week is Idaho's week, or it may be switched. But there's representatives from Montana and Idaho both going those weeks. We'll be in D.C. for the inauguration. Have to contact our senator to get a ticket to the inauguration, so I'm on a waiting list to get a ticket to actually have a seat to sit in there. Otherwise, I'll be out in the mall with all the thousands of others trying to get in. I too heard that prophetic word about the fertilizer bombs. So I'm taking authority over that, over the power of the enemy wanting to destroy our nation. Pray that all the enemy's plans will be thwarted, that none of their plans will succeed. I just pray the enemy is stopped and every dead in his tracks, every plan that he has would be stopped in Jesus' name. That's what I continue to pray around the clock. Continue to pray a bubble of protection around President Trump, J.D. Vance, RFK, all the cabinet members, all the transition team, Elon Musk. And I pray a bubble of protection over Israel and the IDF soldiers and Netanyahu. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because it's key to our, you know, whatever happens to Israel, we bear the consequences. Anytime we try to take land or do any kind of negotiations, we pay severe consequences here in America. When we push Israel to do anything, to give up land or do anything else, we bear the consequences. So I pray for peace of Jerusalem. A lot of exciting things coming up, but also heavy warfare. So we need to be fasting and praying, being alert, being ready, and taking authority over the enemy's plans. So a lot of the things we're doing in D.C., it's specifically a prayer strategy. We're going to be going to different sites. So one of them will be the Capitol, marching around the Capitol, praying protection over it, over probably the White House, other areas. I'm not sure where else we'll go, but we'll be doing strategic prayers there in D.C. So I pray protection for all the team, provision of transportation to get where we need to go. We have a place to stay. Thank you, Lord, for that. And just protection for David's tent. So many people are in and out there, the worshipers. You keep them safe. And Lord, we pray that your plans and purposes would be accomplished for D.C. We're praying for cleansing of all the area of D.C. I pray you'd cleanse the tunnels. I've heard there's tunnels even under the White House where they brought out hundreds, maybe even thousands of children that are trafficked. I pray you'd cleanse those tunnels, cleanse those areas of corruption. I pray you'd expose every stolen ballot, every flipped ballot. I pray you'd expose every dollar that's been used, that's been laundered for other things, used for wrong purposes. We decree that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. We call back every dollar that's been squandered for other things. We call it back into your kingdom for your plans and purposes. And I do pray a bubble of protection over all the J6 prisoners, all the political prisoners. Tina Peters is still in jail in Colorado, and she was doing her job. She was keeping the records that she should do for the election, but she's bearing the consequences of doing righteously. We pray protection for her. I pray that no harm, no torture, no last-minute violence would be done to any of the prisoners, especially Tina, Jake, and Brian. Brian's very sick. He needs medical attention, and the guards aren't letting him get that medical attention he needs. We pray there'd be no more suicides, no more harm come to any of them. Trump has promised he will release them when he gets in. Lord, keep them safe. We pray for their quick release, their quick freedom, that they'd be restored back to life as they knew it, restored back to honor. And a gal in Montana was figuring out the rate. She said when a prisoner is in jail, they get so much a day for being incarcerated. She said they've got several thousand dollars, like $120,000 is coming for each one of them for the time they've spent in jail. I pray for recompense for all those prisoners that have paid so dearly. And I pray for comfort and peace for all those that have lost family members due to suicide, due to violence. Some of them were just so horribly treated, they finally died. They weren't giving them the medical attention they needed when they had cancer and other things. So, Lord, we look forward to you for this new year. Strengthen us, encourage us, keep us strong, keep us moving forward in your plans and purposes. Help us to not grow weary in well-doing, not grow weary in our plans, but to keep our eyes on you and rest in you, in Yeshua's name.
For those of you who are new to our prayer call, we take communion together. So if you would like to prepare the elements in your where you're at, if you're available to do that, get a piece of bread or cracker and some juice or wine. We'll be taking communion together in a little while. I would like to invite Mark Binder to the floor. And Mark, I'd like you to report, if you would, on the judicial call and whatever else God is putting on your heart tonight of what you see as we step into the new year.
Okay, well, very good. Yep, I was on the judicial call. I didn't take any notes, so this is coming from memory here. We talked a lot about some of the acts that legislature needs to do to upgrade and bring this bring our du jour legislature that goes back to December 19th of 1860 and before that, to bring that forward to the times we're living in now. And there was a big old list of concerns and stuff. And if the justices do not have correct, legislation to be able to judge by, and or be able to, that judge is not really the right word, to be able to keep the peace of the nation and the states, then their hands are going to be tied slightly. And so there's that to do. And some of the states have already enacted some of the legislation that's going to help out with that. But that was the basic part of the call there. And it's just a call to be prepared. You know, legislation can't be enacted right now because we don't really have a quorum in Congress. And he's mostly talking at the state level anyway, and we only have one representative at the state level. That doesn't mean we can't write something that can be looked over and enacted later. So he was just calling us to kind of get prepared for that, and that's what I got out of that anyway.
Thank you, brother. So what do you see through your eyes as we step into the new year from the House? Well, any just from your personal life too. I don't mean to limit you.
No, that's all right. We're getting several new members in, and of course, if you've never been in the legislature before, or you haven't followed it much, you're not ready to write legislation just yet because you have to know the limitations that you can use through the Constitution, whether it be the national Constitution for the national laws and legislation, or would it be the state constitution for just the that legislation is done in the state. So that needs to be understood, and our founding documents need to be understood as well. Like we're going over the Proclamation of Claim and Interest. We're going to finish that up tomorrow night, and we're going to go over the Declaration of Sovereign Intent and all the other exhibits that are attached to the Proclamation of Claim and Interest, so that we can have a more of a biblical worldview, you might say, and more of a in tune with the law of nature's and nature's God's laws, which is our law form. So just educating, and I know for a lot of people, including myself way back when, it was a bit of an endeavor to be able to learn to walk in the de jure law form, not reverting back to the de facto. It takes a while to be able to talk the talk, and it takes even longer to be able to actually walk the walk for most people. So that's kind of what's going on. We're going to move forward. Of course, we open each session with prayer and close each session with prayer. And we also have teachings by the 50 Laws of Life by a gentleman who's a judge and had a little prison time, and God put on his heart to write those laws of life that pertain to the Bible. They're not, they're not the precepts. They're the truth. Of course, they take that each law that he puts together. He takes and he runs it through the Bible, and it's in several places. Maybe not written exactly the same, of course. And so, not next session, but the following session, we're planning on taking the Declaration of Sovereign Intent, what we read, and we're going to apply the laws of life to that in agreement with what was being done. So that should be interesting. And that's about all I have for the House of Representatives right now.
Mark, it's so encouraging to hear the tone and the hearts of those in the legislature to be looking, genuinely looking at creating laws that conform to God's laws. You know, we have seen such a deviation from that in our nation over the last 150 years. And it's like, it's just music to my ears to hear you say that. It's just, wow, what a whole new future we have open to us.
Yes, sir. And it's a much less endeavor to try to fix the corporate system and all the laws they enacted. Just go, just re-inhabit back to a point in time and go forward from there. Back to the future, if you will.
Even going back to the future, it's going to take us quite a number of years to unwind this, but it's exciting. We're on the way, and maybe not. You know, Donald Trump showed us how quickly things could get turned around economically in 4 years. So who knows? When everybody's got their hand to the wheel, it could happen a whole lot faster.
Yes, sir. The Lord's got a plan. I intend on following it.
Amen. Amen. I am going to play a piece of music here, which is entitled Teach Us to Number Our Days. And I want you to be pondering as I play this, just your days, what God has called you to. It's a fresh start. It's a new year. And just what does that look like for you? Ask him. Ask him to reveal what it is that is authentically his calling upon your life. So many of us get so busy in life that we just spend our time either being busy or surviving. And I believe that this is a season where God's calling us to listen to his voice, have the courage to step out, to use our days, to fulfill our days, to fulfill his calling upon our life. They say the place where there's, and I'm sorry, I can't remember how the quote goes, but it's something like a graveyard is the place where there's the most unrealized dreams. Folks who ran their days and really didn't accomplish what God called them to. So ponder that as I play this.
Our lives may be set.
As we prepare for communion, firstly, I want to invite Governor Carpenter. Governor Carpenter, is it too impromptu to ask you to lead us in communion? I have something I'm going to read first, and then it gives you time to kind of put it together. Oh, I've muted you. I'm sorry. Let me unmute you.
You know, Robert, I have to back off on that one. I apologize, but I got some extenuating circumstances right now, and I'm not prepared to do that, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. In fact, Jim, we will lift up the passing of your father-in-law on this call. So I'm sorry about their brother, but yes, sorry. Yes.
No problem. So Jim, thank you for asking.
Yeah, okay. Jim lost his father-in-law over the Christmas period. He ran a long race, ran a good race. But Heavenly Father, I lift up Jim and Lori. I lift up the family members who are getting a family business in order, saying their goodbyes. We just pray them your grace over them as they prepare to have a celebration of life for him. We pray your traveling mercies on them as they travel. We pray healing amongst the family members. And we just thank you, Lord, that you have numbered our days. And Jim's father-in-law has run his race, and he's ready to be with you. So we give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Okay, so Bruce Dietler, can I encourage you to prep us for communion?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I want to read, in the meantime, the foreword from one of the two volumes of the books Reinhabited, Republic for the United States of America. This is from Volume 2, The Story of the Reinhabitation. And this is a foreword by the first president of the Republic, President James Timothy Turner. A very humble man, a very such a magnetic, gracious, clear-minded, understands the law very beautifully. And he put his life on the line, his fortune on the line, he just gave his everything for this republic that we are where we are now. He ended up spending over 10 years and 8 months in jail on false charges. And he's just a wonderful man of God. And I just want you to hear his heart as he writes the foreword to Reinhabited. The American people have been wandering through a political wilderness for more than 150 years. Great efforts have been expended by Lucifer and his unprincipled men and women to keep America and other peoples of the world in the dark concerning their evil plans for mankind. Many well-placed officials in government around the world, politicians, progressive, captains of industry, bankers, and media prostitutes have conspired with these unprincipled men and women to perpetuate the lies and slavery known as democracy. Many of them have sold their souls for only the crumbs of wealth and power. The American Constitution, as consented to by the American people, authorizes only and guarantees a republican form of government for the Union of American States. All politicians, leaders, and officials who support the democracy are in violation of their constitutional oaths of office. they simply do not work for, nor do they support the American people. Re-inhabited Volume 1 explains with great clarity who is involved in this unlawful coup d'etat known as democracy, as well as how it was instituted. Re-inhabited Volume 2 explains the solution the American people can follow to find their way out of the wilderness of deception known as the New World Order, by which they have been duped. Yahweh intervened on behalf of our original founding fathers to help them establish a republic form of government by which all men could be free. From the beginning, slave owners and Luciferians have worked tirelessly to subvert the republic and replace it with a democracy, which is just another form of slavery. In 2010, a new group of founding fathers and mothers came together to re-inhabit the original republican form of government as established in 1787 to 1791. Since that time, they have accomplished the impossible. What they have accomplished is impossible against all odds. The offices of the original republic government have been reseated and are in operation. This republic is the heritage of the American people and their God-given right, their only need to embrace and support it. Yahweh, our God, is with us and will help us if we the people support the republic. But he will not force the American people to do it against their will. If you fail to act because you are afraid, or it may cost you something, then you are not worthy to be called an American or a Christian. Separate yourselves from us and continue to lick the boots of your Luciferian slave masters. We must decide if we want to live in liberty or bondage. Failure to make that choice is your choice to be a slave and is disobedience to God. We have built the structure of your republic should you choose to come and reclaim it. America is at war. Our enemies are not only ISIS and the New World Order, but also those who have sworn an oath of office to uphold the Constitution and yet support the democracy. Don't be fooled by the media. These politicians know exactly what they are doing. As Christians, we are charged by Yeshua, Jesus, to forgive our enemies. That charge did not include allowing our enemies to destroy us from within or without. We must arise and deal with this threat as we would deal with a rabid dog that is trying to destroy our families. Yahweh, our God, will give us victory in this struggle if we will stand. He will also judge us harshly on that day if we fail to stand against this evil because of apathy, cowardice, or lack of faith. It is Yahweh's will for America to be set at liberty. Many have made great sacrifices to re-inhabit God's republic at his command. Our founding fathers gave all. So should we be required to give any less? I'm thankful to my good friends David and Jean Hurdler for the labor of love they have undertaken to write these books. It's been a great sacrifice on their part and requires several years of research, study, writing, proofreading to accomplish. I'm proud to say that these two volumes of Re-Inhabited are two of the greatest literary works ever written on American history. They are truly a national treasure and should be required reading for every American. I thank you both from the bottom of my heart for your dedication and sacrifice. I pray that the peoples of the world will embrace the information within these two great books and act upon it righteously. Prayer is our number one weapon, but should not be construed as our only weapon. When prayer is coupled with true repentance, it will touch the heart of Yahweh, our God, and he will intervene on our behalf. Without his help, we will certainly fail. Americans must make their choice very soon. The very survival of you and your posterity absolutely depends on it. As for me, I gave a solemn oath to uphold the sacred law of God as contained in the American Constitution and founding documents. I have faithfully kept that oath and will continue to do so as long as I live. Will you join me in standing up for America and Jehovah our God? May Jehovah our God bless America from sea to shining sea and give us victory. James Timothy Turner, founding president, founding father, and former president. Did I hear a shofar?
Do you want to?
Yes. The shofar is a battle cry. The shofar is the sound of God's army. It goes before his army, and it claims a victory before the army gets there. Bruce Dietler, the floor is yours, sir. Lead us in communion.
We'll do so. Wanted to share just a brief thing relating back to Brother Tomaszewski's comments earlier about the attitudes of the heart. This is a statement by Rachel Lynn Lawrence from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And she said, as the Lord unlocks many destinies in 2025, as we're entering into the new year here, is your heart surrendered and ready for him to unlock yours? Have you consecrated your heart and your destiny unto the Lord? If you aren't willing to dedicate your dream to the Lord, you're not ready to steward it. May this be the year that you seek his kingdom above all else. May this be the year that you seek his face and his presence. May this be the year that obedience to Yeshua prevails over your every decision. May this be the year that you trust wholeheartedly in what he has promised over your life. May this be the year that you walk boldly toward the destiny that he has for your life. And according to the word of God, he has good things planned for those whose hearts are yielded unto him. Well, Father, we thank you for the opportunity tonight to come into your presence. Lord, we come into your presence with joy in our hearts and thanksgiving upon our lips. Father, we thank you for the great gift of your Son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One who came to this earth, who gave his life for us, Lord, even while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies, Father. I thank you, Father God, that he gave his life. He took our sicknesses. He took our sins upon his own body as he hung upon the tree. By his stripes we were healed. Father, through his sacrifice, we now can reckon our bodies healed and whole, well, strong, sharp, alert, and ready and available for service. Father, I thank you that we have been set free, and we are free indeed from all the bondages of the world. Father, we recognize the broken body of Yeshua, Jesus, by taking this bread. I thank you, Father God, for the salvation that we have through him, the salvation, the deliverance, and the healing, Father. So join me as we take the bread. Thank you, Father, for the full victory through your Son, Yeshua, as his blood was poured out in the beating and from his side on the cross as he was pierced. He was wounded, pierced for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Father, we thank you for that precious blood, the blood of the Lamb, of the perfect Lamb, the Son of God that was shed for the remission of our sins. to pay for our sins, Lord. Our sins are washed away. You remember them no more, according to your word. And I thank you, Father God, that through the power of that blood, the devil is under our feet. Every wicked spirit, every lying spirit, every foul spirit, and every foul thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ Yeshua is under our feet, and we crush its head through the power of the blood of Yeshua. I thank you, Father God, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, through his sacrifice, through his blood that was shed for us, Lord. And as we take this juice, we remember the blood shed for us. We thank you for the fullness of the victories that is ours now. In this life, it is done, completed, and finished. And we give you the glory and the praise for it in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and Savior. Partake.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bruce. Amen and amen. John Underwood, what is God saying to you this evening as we step into the new year?
Your sound went away when you were telling me what you were asking.
Oh, yeah, because I unmuted you, sorry. John, what's God saying to you as we step into the new year, and what's on your heart this evening?
Let's see. Yeah, I was on the prayer call with Nita Johnson last Friday. She called a emergency prayer sessions for this week, for Tuesday through Friday night, when normally we only usually pray on Thursday and Friday nights. And so, anyway, the prayer that we're going to be praying the most about, I think, is this prophecy that they were planning to have these truckloads of fertilizer pulled into big buildings in five big cities, like Los Angeles, maybe Denver, Chicago, I'm not sure about Denver, but anyway, Chicago and Washington, D.C., and a couple other places. Anyway, so Lord, we just stand with you in faith, knowing that you are the Lord of the angel armies, and that nothing can stand against them. Thank you, Lord, that you have come to fight for us, Lord. And so, Lord, we declare your victory in this situation, and we declare that all of their wicked plans will come to nothing. And we just thank you for that. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your great hand of involve us in what you're doing. That's what we pray, Lord, and thank you for that. Give you praise, Lord, for victory now in victory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Still there, Robert? No, it's here anyway.
Robert, if you're talking, we can't hear you. You're probably muted.
I guess nobody else is on the board, are they? Besides your
still on here.
Yeah.
It happened last month, and he had to call back in on his other phone. Sometimes his landline loses the connection, so he may call back in.
Okay, he'll probably call back pretty soon. Okay.
Robin is on here, too, from Alabama.
Robin? Robin?
Well, we have a brief intermission here. This is Bruce again. I wanted to share with you all, if you are not familiar with the Elijah list, there was a posting. This was yesterday. Jamie Rohrbaugh from Chattanooga. She has a prophetic prayer for 2025 saying, "This is your sunrise season." I'm not going to read the post here, but I would direct you toward that. It would be well worth your time to read this. She says she was the Lord was speaking to her about the new year and said she said, "I believe he is saying 2025 is going to be your sunrise season. He's been telling me that we need to pray for his abundant life to be manifested in every area of our own lives and how important that is regarding regional victories. The victory in your life will lead to victories in other lives and throughout the region where you are located." But the main body of this is she has a prayer for 2025, which is extensive, and she starts out with three long paragraphs, basically just in Jesus' name, "Father, we come to you, you're good God, Abba Father," so on and so forth. But then she goes into different areas. She says, then a prayer for my health, and she's suggesting through this that each of the readers would take this as a personal prayer that we pray for our own situation. And so she goes into a prayer for my own health. "Over my health and mood, I pray," so on and so forth. Then a prayer for my spiritual walk. "Over my spiritual walk with you, which is the most important thing, I pray in Jesus' name." Then she goes into that. Then a prayer for my calling and destiny. "For my calling and destiny in you, I pray," and goes into that. And then finally, a prayer for my everyday life. "For my everyday life in Jesus' name, I humbly pray. Open the doors for me that no man can shut and that no man can close the doors for me that no man can open," and then goes on through. But anyway, extremely well done, well worth your time to take a look at that in the days ahead. So be blessed in Yeshua's mighty name.
Hey there, Bruce. This is Mark. I got a text from Robert. He said that the board crashed, so go ahead and let us close the call. So you want to go ahead and close us out down?
We'll do so. Father God, again, we thank you for your great love and faithfulness. We serve a great and a mighty God. We are so, so awed and wonder at your presence, Father God, your grace and your goodness to us. I thank you for those who are on the call this night, for those who will listen to it in the days ahead, Lord. We pray your special blessings, your grace upon them as we enter into this new year, Father. Our expectation is high. This will be an excellent year, Father, for those whose hearts are yielded to you, for those who walk according to your plan and purpose, Lord, who humble ourselves beneath your mighty hand. You promised, Father, in your word that you would exalt us in due time. Father, we thank you for the great and precious promises of your word. We thank you for the fellowship we share on this call with your love. I speak life, blessings, and peace over each and every one in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Blessings to all and to all a good night.
Amen.
All right,
shalom,
everybody.
Shalom,
have a good night. Shalom, shalom.
Good night, Lum.
Good night to all. Stay warm.
Good night.
Good night.
Mm-hmm.